الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولقد آتيناك سبعا من المثاني والقرآن العظيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم.
Every year we talk about this, and one more time will not hurt us due to the value of what we are reciting repeatedly every day, especially also in the month of Ramadan. It is no mystery to us regarding the value of Surah Fatiha. And we have to ask ourselves, what is Surah Fatiha all about? In fact, when you study Surah Fatiha, and before we talk about Surah Fatiha from the study point of view, Surah Fatiha in reality is a dua. It's a dua in which, that is why at the end of it, we say Ameen. Some may say loud, some may say soft, but everyone generally says it. Those that say it softly, they'll say it softly enough where they can hear. For example, you'll say it, if you're saying it softly, you'll say Ameen, Ameen. So you can hear when you're saying Ameen. And if you're amongst those that are saying it loudly, you say Ameen. You don't say loudly, because it's not the respectable thing to do. When I say loudly, I mean in a manner that creates unpleasantness for those around. Now, as a group, when everyone is saying it, yes, it may appear to be loud, but each one is not loud. So as we agree upon, it is a dua. Now, what is a dua? A dua in simple form is a request that one person makes to another, in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When any person makes a request, there is generally a criterion that has to be fulfilled. If I yelled at you, screamed at you, made fun of you, and then I asked you for $10, I don't think you're going to give it to me, because I made you feel uneasy. Likewise, there is a certain request in order to attain Surah Fatiha to be accepted. And before we talk about those things that cause for it to be accepted, we have to understand what this surah is all about. And that is why it starts off with, according to some, they attach Bismillah to the Surah Fatiha, and according to others, they say Bismillah is a separate part of Surah Fatiha, but all agree Surah Fatiha is read with Bismillah, some loud, some soft. But regardless, it is something that we always recite before we read our salah. We say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As I say, some loud, some will say it softly, but it is something that is always done. Now, this is very, very important, because when you study Bismillah alone, it actually is Bismillah. Bismillah, but because we use it so much, the Nahwiyin and the scholars, etc., agree that due to its continual usage, we say Bismillah. Now, to use it in slang form, for example, you know, when you're talking to people, you don't say, good morning, how are you? Nowadays, they don't do that. They just go, what's up? What's up? You know, that's it. They cut it short. It's a short version. It's an abbreviated version of, good morning, how are you? I am pleased to meet you. Because you don't just say, what's up, to someone you don't care about. Otherwise, that person will get more angry at you. So, when you have a good relationship with people, you can shorten things up, and that meaning is encompassed in that short phrase. Now, when you say Bismillah, for example, we learn full well that you are saying, I'm attaching what I'm doing to that of my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who happens to be, of course, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, when you say that, thereafter you're attaching what to it? The Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this is the concept of Tawheed. My brothers, this is a very, very important subject, and we cannot do justice to it at any time. Tawheed is the acknowledgement that my Allah is one. My Allah is my creator. My Allah is my sustainer. My Allah has blessed me to be in this masjid. My Allah has blessed me with the month of Ramadan. My Allah has blessed me to be in this masjid on a Friday, as it is part of the month of Ramadan. This is something we cannot fathom. And to make this a reality requires us to do something from here on, which is when we say all praise is to Allah, it should be undoubtedly all praise is for Allah. And this is a challenge in today's time, because if you don't praise someone, they may not like you. If you don't praise someone enough, what are you rejecting me? If you don't praise someone enough, didn't you recognize what I have done? So we have come into a society of praising people, people that we can care less for, and people we can care less for doing anything for. But yet we have to fake it. Because if we don't fake it, then they get offended, and if they get offended, then it can create social breakups, economic breakups, political breakups, and things of that nature. And even on a political level, there are people that we know that did not want to vote for certain candidates. Yet, when those people are in office, then when you come to the podium, well, Mr. So-and-so has done this, and Mr. So-and-so has done that, and Mrs. So-and-so has done this, and Mrs. So-and-so has done that. Here, 3 months before the election, you were taking out campaigns to smear that individual. That person is not worthy of the Democratic Party. That person is not worthy of the Independent Party. That person is not worthy of the Republican, etc., etc. party. So Allah is saying, don't do this. Don't play this game. Praise is for Allah and Allah alone. Acknowledgement is for Allah and Allah alone. So the first thing is the aspect of Tawheed. The second thing, before we move on to that, after Tawheed and praising Allah, part of the praise of Allah is the acknowledgement that Allah is the most merciful and most kind. And this is something, again, we have a problem with. Our problem is this. You know, I worked so hard and Allah didn't give me millions. I worked so hard and I didn't get accepted into that certain program in school. I worked so hard in my relationship and my partner doesn't want to be with me. I worked so hard in my relationship and my children don't even look at me. They don't even care about me. You are forgetting the idea of dua. The idea of dua is not limited to only asking Allah. The idea of dua is to acknowledge our good as well as our bad. And the way we create change is by the first acknowledgement of, oh Allah, I am weak, I have done wrong, I am not even worthy of being able to praise you, oh Allah, I am trying, kindly accept my dua. That's why the ulama have said, you don't say in the dua, for example, oh Allah, inshallah, if you feel it is good for me to be good, oh Allah, inshallah, you do it. You don't make dua that way. Some people, when they get angry, they make that type of dua. They couldn't get what they wanted for many years. So Allah, inshallah, Allah, if you want, you make it happen. If you don't want, oh Allah, no, that's not the way you make dua. We make dua with love and affection by saying, oh Allah, I'm weak. And in your wisdom, I ask you for such and such. So why do you say in your wisdom? In your wisdom means, oh Allah, you are the judge of everything. And if you feel I'm worthy of whatever it is in your hands, oh Allah. And if you don't give it to me, whatever I am requesting, oh Allah, praise is still for you, because you understand why I should not get what I do not need or deserve. Now let me give you a simple example. You know, when people are about, I mean, now the rules have changed. Back then it was much more easier. But now it has changed a lot, coming to America from overseas. So there are people that, you know, some of them will rip up passports and fake passports, and they do this and they do that. I got to get to America. I got to get to America, the land of opportunity. I got to come here. Ask the guy 10 years later, statistically. So you wanted to come so bad. How is America? I'm not saying America is not good. Mashallah, it's a wonderful place. That's not the issue. And what the guy will say, I actually met one fellow in California. You know what he told me? Is that I came to America, I don't know what prison I got myself into. I said, why? He says, all my friends overseas, so and so is a minister, and so, has gotten this company and got a car, some proposition. Another fellow got this, another fellow got that, another fellow managed to get England passport and he's still back in the country and he does business in... What happened? What happened? What went wrong? What went wrong? 20 years later, you are struggling. 20 years later, those people that were struggling with you, Allah has changed it to the point where today we'll be reading an ayah in the Quran. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير انك على كل شيء قدير. At the end of the day, it is Allah. Allah is our creator. Allah is our true Malik. In Surah Fatiha we recite Malik Yawm al-Din. Have you ever understood what's Malik Yawm al-Din? This is what this ayah is saying. Malik Yawm al-Din means, what does it mean? It means Allah is such a master, such a creator. He can turn your backyard where you think it is dust. He can put gold in it and you can become a millionaire. And for some people, there can be gold in your backyard and they'll say, you don't have digging rights, go from here. The government is taking over the land and you had gold and next thing you're a pauper. We've seen cases like this. This is Allah. And Allah is saying, I'm doing all this for a reason. So you understand my value. And you understand that everything is in my hands. We are saying this in every salah. But the reality of this, whether it's the listener or whether it's the reciter, the reality of this has not come into us. So Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Every praise, every love, every affection is for Allah and Allah alone. And when we turn that around by giving our affection to people, by lying to people, cheating on people, trying to win people over, it comes in a hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, something to the effect that when we transgress these boundaries, Allah will make reality come your way. Let me give you an example. You praise someone, praise someone, praise someone so much. 5 years later, you can't praise that person more. And why can't you praise him more or praise her more? This is what you say. I know something, don't worry about it. I know something, don't worry about it. And what the other one says, but 5 years ago, you used to praise her. 5 years ago, you used to praise him. What happened? That is why it comes in the hadith. Don't praise people too much, because perhaps a day will come when you'll have to do the opposite. And don't do the opposite too much, because a day may come when you'll have to praise them. Don't attack them so much, because a day may come when you'll have to praise them. Therefore, we have to be balanced in our relationships. And this is what we are learning from Surah Fatiha, that at the end of the day, praise is not for you and I. Praise is not for family. Praise is not necessarily for country. Praise is not for people. Praise is for Allah and Allah alone. This is what we are reciting over and over and over in our Tarawih Salah. My brothers, before we continue any further, when we realize this and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why will Allah reject our dua? If you follow this to the way Allah wishes for us to follow it, Allah has no reason to decline our du'as. That is why this morning we did a hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, wherein it says the following: as far as our fasting is concerned, it is a shield. Fasting is a shield. We've heard this hadith many, many times. What is a shield? A shield is something you hold in front to protect you from getting hurt. That's why we have a shield. That's why when they used to go to battles, they have a shield. That's why you sit in an armored vehicle. It's like a shield, a protection from outside, from those that are willing to hurt you. So how does fasting become a shield? That is an important question. When we are fasting, as we read this morning the hadith, one of the things we got to stop doing is being abusive. Very important. How we talk to our children, how we talk to our parents, what do we expect of our husbands and wives? Very, very important. Because when you become abusive to them, when you hurt them,
When you lie about them, you lie to them, you cheat upon them, you hurt a part of them, then in reality, you are now making holes in the shield that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And the more holes you make in that shield, as Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam says, there are some people, this month will come and the month will go, they will accomplish nothing except for what? You know the hadith. Except for starving, number one, and number two, standing up at night. That's all. All they did was standing, did some exercise, went up and down, digested the iftar, and they went back home to sleep. And the hadith is saying, don't do this. And if people try to trap you by arguing with you, fighting with you, challenging you in wrongful ways, the best answer, as the hadith says, you must give is, inni sa'im. I am fasting, brother. I am fasting, sister. Let's discuss this at a later point in time. But we are very clever, mashallah. We are very clever. And what we do is, we do our setup for messing up our Ramadan before Ramadan. Because Shaitan wants to benefit. So 10 days before Ramadan, we'll have the big boom bang. Ramadan is coming, so let's hash it out right now, we'll say. Let's hash it out right now, and let's get done with the problem. So 10 days before Ramadan, we start the arguing. Now Ramadan comes, we can't meet. Ramadan comes, we can't hug. Ramadan comes, we can't talk with love and affection. So now we are affecting our fast with what we've done before Ramadan. Shaitan is too clever. He knows every trick and he knows how to get us. Another problem will take place is before the end of Ramadan. 5 days before, 10 days before. The shopping fever will start. My dress is not like this. I cannot wear last year's dress. I cannot do this. I cannot do that. We cannot cook the same food as last year. We cannot invite the same guests. We got to get more guests. The arguments will start. Many families talk about this. So what is Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to us? That don't break the shield. Whether it's before the month of Ramadan where we start the problem that affects our Ramadan, number one, or number two, before the end of Ramadan, where we sort of start welcoming, not Eid, but Shaitan. So Shaitan is behind bars, and he can see the get out of jail card coming, and he's smiling. Oh, I worked so many days. These people have kept on to my tradition, mashallah. And we cannot do that. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned very beautifully that the shield that we have that is to protect us can only be maintained by number one, not being abusive. Number two, by doing what Ramadan expects us to do. And amongst the things it expects us to do, from the hadiths that we have learned, that you all are very familiar with, is ensure that we will not backbite. Ensure that we will not gossip. Try to have clean and wonderful thoughts. You know, one fellow said it very well. Yes, I think it was Nelson Mandela, not to be quoting him here necessarily on a Friday, but we quote many things. What did he say? He says, hatred and enmity is like me drinking poison. Look what he says. Enmity, hatred of another person is like me drinking poison and expecting you to die. Can that happen? It's like me taking a gun and shooting myself and saying my enemy must die. Can that happen? No, it cannot happen. And this is what we are all about. I will lie about you, cheat on you, gossip about you, talk bad about you, and I expect my iman to rise. Can that happen? And the other individual is relaxing and doing what they need to do. So therefore the hadith is teaching us, don't break the shield that Allah has given us in this month of Ramadan. Protect the shield by becoming the best of human. Listening to the Quran, following the Quran, practicing the Quran, looking into the hadith regarding Ramadan, making that hadith a reality, following that hadith, sharing that hadith, making it our object of endearment and goodness. And if you did that, I guarantee you, when the Imam is reading Surah Fatiha in Taraweeh, or in whichever salah, you'll wish he never finished Surah Fatiha. You won't say, today the Imam took 15 seconds in Surah Fatiha. That's still a little bit slow, you got to go a little bit faster. Yesterday it was 25 seconds, today it was 15. I think he can do it in 10. You know, when we are kids, mashallah, overseas, we should actually watch how many breaths the Imam used to do Surah Fatiha. Wow, that masjid, one breath, that Imam is good, man, that Imam is good. That's the way we used to be. That Imam, he got long breath, mashallah. Well, we were kids, so you can expect it. But now we are adults, alhamdulillah. And we should say, mashallah, he's doing it slowly, he's doing it properly, he's doing it like Maulana Mu'min. I saw Maulana Mu'min earlier, where is he? Oh, mashallah. Doing it like Maulana Mu'min, Qari Basit style. We should be appreciative of that. Because as it comes in the Quran, read, and because in the hadith of Rasulullah, read the Quran in a beautiful tone. Read the Quran in a beautiful ledger. Read the Quran in a way where it attracts people and makes people fall in love with the Quran. But we got it different. We want to read beautiful so people get attracted to us, mashallah. Oh, that guy when he reads, I mean, he rocks it. You know, he's amazing, that fellow. No, it's not the fellow. It's supposed to be about how the Quran is taking you to the next level. The Quran is not a consummatory action. Consummatory action is, for example, you eat a burger, you digest it, and it is done. That's not Quran. Quran is, you read it, you listen to it, and it must take you, inshallah, on the next level. So once we use the shield of fasting, by not doing bad things and doing the best of things, you'll enjoy the Surah Fatiha. And if you enjoy the Surah Fatiha, you will follow the wisdom of Surah Fatiha. And if you follow the wisdom of Surah Fatiha, guess what? Our du'as will be accepted. When we say Ameen, we'll feel that Ameen. When we say Ameen, we'll feel ourselves, inshallah, going through this wonderful transformation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. Sadaqatul Fitr is about $10, inshallah. If Allah has blessed you, try to give it as soon as possible. Tomorrow will be the major iftar, and announcements will be made regarding it. Tell your friends about it, and inshallah, as you know, we are hoping there are about 15, 16 sheep or goat or whatever animals they have cut. That's a big sacrifice, my brothers. This event, in my mind, if 1,500 people come and the minimum cost is $10 per person, you know what it is. $15,000 event, giving to you, alhamdulillah, for no cost. So come, bring your friends, get together, smile, be happy, connect with Allah, connect with Allah, and make it the best Ramadan you can. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.